This fall's election campaign is being brought to you at a cost of almost $4 billion. That's how much the leading candidates and independent groups are expected to spend. The figure is a projection by the Center for Responsive Politics, which monitors political spending. And the scale of this year's spending has surprised almost everyone, as NPR's Peter Overby reports.
Count among the few who would not be surprised, the late Senator Paul Wellstone. Back in 2001, when the Senate was about to pass the McCain-Feingold campaign finance bill, predictions were flying that both major parties, especially the Democrats, would essentially go broke. But Wellstone, a Democrat from Minnesota, had his own analysis.
The headlines in the newspapers in the country tomorrow and the lead story should be United States Senate votes for reform, votes to put more big money into politics.
Wellstone died in a plane crash 2 years ago, but his forecast has come true. The McCain-Feingold law did completely quash one kind of transaction. Lawmakers can't cozy up to corporate union and individual donors anymore and solicit them for $100,000 checks to the party committees. But money, like water, finds its way around new obstacles, and this year no reform could stop the cash that's sloshing through American politics. The Center for Responsive Politics estimates that the White House race alone will exceed $1.2 billion. During the primaries, President Bush collected more than any other politician in history. Senator Kerry got more than anyone except President Bush. In fact, after Kerry's nomination, he had more cash left over than Al Gore raised when he ran 4 years ago. Now, the president and the senator are using public financing and sending those excess primary dollars to their party committees. There's a definite surge in big donors. In part, that's because McCain-Feingold doubled the legal limit on individual contributions. But small donors, too, are giving like never before. They're fired up on both sides, and they're responding to internet messages, phone solicitations, and direct mail.
That's really the major story of this election.
Michael Malbin is director of the Campaign Finance Institute, a nonpartisan analytical group.
They've doubled the number of small donations to the parties. They've quadrupled the number of small donations to the candidates. There's more money available in smaller contributions than anybody expected.
There's also money swirling through outside groups, including the so-called 527 organizations. Liberals George Soros and Peter Lewis set the pace at $18 million each. The biggest donors on the right have just broken the $5 million mark. Many of the 527s have strong small donor bases, too. And there's still other money, money that's completely off the books. Tax-exempt advocacy groups define issues and sometimes define the candidates. There's no law requiring them to disclose their financial details. Some corporations made special efforts this year to get their employees registered in voting. That's not disclosed either. Larry Noble of the Center for Responsive Politics.
We won't know that amount of money, and that's one of the problems. The same way, by the way, I should mention that in terms of union activity, there's a lot of union activity that we don't know about.
And finally, consider the possibility of recounts. The Bush and Kerry campaigns are both asking their faithful supporters to write small checks, up to $2,000, to accounts earmarked for legal expenses. Later this week, the Federal Election Commission will consider another question. When the voting is over and the recounts are underway, can candidates hit up millionaires for big contributions? The millionaires might want to know. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.